There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, good morning as we welcome you in here. Week 3 college football. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Hanging out on his throne at the Borgata is Michael Lombardi. I'm going to use this from VSiN's daily newsletter before I introduce you, Michael. This is great. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kramer wrote this week. He said, Kansas is 2-0. Rutgers is 2-0. Notre Dame is 0-2, just like we all thought. So is anybody good outside of the big three, right? Georgia, Bama, Ohio State. What else is going on in college football? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Patrick. Oh, and I you know, that daily email to me is gold. And we'll have Matt Humans on later in the show. And that, and the, his show is gold, too, because you get all these handicappers coming in with their best bets of the day. And, you know, they're giving a lot. They're not just throwing it out there because there's money at stake. So you got to follow that daily email. It's sensational. There's so much information. And, you know, I think they're right. I think you look at it, the college football landscape, and it's kind of upside down. You know, you just don't know really who is good, who's not. Is Clemson really good? Are we sure of that? I don't know. Is DJ, the quarterback there, really good? I don't know. You know, Louisville's been really disappointing this year. You know, another game they had a chance to win last night, they couldn't pull it off. How good is Cunningham? I'm not sure that's the there's a good answer on that one.
Okay, well, I'll give you the update. So kind of the theme throughout college football this year is the big three, right? So let me give the updated championship odds. As Stephen Bond mentions in our rundown here, we do have an AP poll, new number one, and that is Georgia. Georgia, 49-3 over Oregon, 35-0 over Sanford, which was essentially a week off as they head to South Carolina and Williams-Brice. They are sitting plus 210. You know, the favorite in the market right now still, DraftKings, is Bama at 2-1. Ohio State is plus 290. And then you just mentioned Clemson, right? Clemson is 12-1. You know who they're tied with? USC at 12-1.
Yeah.
St. Jude's, my friend. Give away your money if you're betting USC at this point.
I mean, there's so many people today on Fresno State. So many people on Fresno State. In part because USC's defense. Look, Rice, we know that's not, but that was a closer game in the first half, right? Then they go and play Stanford, which I thought Stanford would punch him in the mouth. But Stanford didn't have the ball enough, but they gained a ton of yards against USC. Today will be a really interesting challenge with Jeff Tefford and the Fresno Bulldogs at how their defense looks. We know they're going to move the football, but how will this game become a track meet? If it is, can SC be considered one of those elite teams? I doubt it.
Okay, Michael. So again, Bama 55-0 Utah State. I'll just give you the wrap up and then we'll move on to Scott Frost. 20-19 over Texas last week. They host UL Monroe today. They're laying close to 50 points. Ohio State 21-10 over Notre Dame. That win continues to lose some of its luster with the struggles with Notre Dame, of course. 45-12 last weekend. They host Toledo and they're laying 31 at home today. But the big news as we welcome you in on the Lombardi Line, this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you want to get the daily newsletter, which we referenced off the top, it's free. You go to vsin.com and put your email address in there. So Your boy Scott Frost is out. 4+ years. You know what's fascinating about him getting fired is he was just a couple of weeks away from that buyout significantly decreasing. There was a lot of drama behind the scenes there in Lincoln, Michael.
Well, I, look, let's just play it out. I don't need to be in Lincoln on the ground there where they still angle park to know that what happened. I mean, Trev Alberts was told, look, this is your mess. We need him out of here now, right? You know, he brought him back. Like, I was on Christopher Russo yesterday. We were talking. He asked me this question. Like, what happened here in Lincoln was the contract became more valuable than answering the fundamental question, can we win with the coach? Just because you redid the contract doesn't mean you're going to win games. Like, are you sure he's a good coach? Because it doesn't matter what you're paying him. If he's not a good enough coach to handle the program, and even though he's a brother from the school and he's an alumnus, like, you're not answering the question. And Trev Albert was walking around like Neville Chamberlain with the Munich agreement thinking, oh, I got a great contract. They got a great contract. You got nothing. And he was, I think, put in his place by saying, look, he's gone. You got to get him out of here. So I think that's why they ignored the buyout. I mean, they had to save their program. But they should have saved their program last January. But they got so caught up in, I redid the contract. I've got this great contract. Is it really that great?
Sixth-ranked Sooners, Michael, at Nebraska-Lincoln. We go to BetMGM, the most money, the most tickets right now on Oklahoma. However, you saw that number drop from an opener of 14.5 down to 11. Let's just let new listeners understand what happens here. This is called a first coach, first week with a new coach bump. Okay, bettors have to understand that black cloud has kind of lifted over the program. The kids are rejuvenated. They want to prove something to the new staff. There's going to always be a jump that first week with a new coach.
No doubt. And we're going to see it. You know, we're going to see what happens. I mean, there's no longer somebody watching over trying to protect. The coaches are just going to coach. And the players feel like, okay, what inevitably was going to happen, happened. So that's gone now. Now we're playing for our careers. We're playing for the transfer portal, essentially. It's no different than when a coach gets fired in the NFL. Now, this won't last very long. It doesn't have longevity. But for a day, a game, it may.
How bad did it get at Nebraska? Well, they rank 124th in the nation in total defense. They allow an average of 492 through 3 weeks. Last week, in a loss at home against Georgia Southern, they gave up 642 yards. So, like, literally, that's a program that was rudderless. Like, Frost, there's no way he recovers from this. He completely lost control of the program.
Like, he lost control of what it takes to win. He doesn't understand what the job is and what it isn't. That's the essence of it, right? And just because you're alumnus of the school doesn't mean you're going to win. And we've seen the Central Florida program get better when he left with Josh Heupel, right? So who was successful? What was the reason for the success? I think a lot of these college guys, they get this promotion. They get this stigma. They get this perception based on them. And all of a sudden it sticks and they can do no wrong. When if you really boil it down and listen to them talk about the game of football, understanding how to build a team, there's a lot missing there.
Okay, so Mickey Joseph takes over. He, like Frost, is an old quarterback there at Nebraska. Check this out, though, just to continue to highlight how awful it went there at Nebraska. They've been favored in their first three games by 12, 29, and 23 points, and they're 1-2 straight up. They're obviously 0-3 ATS. Like, this has been an unbelievable disaster. Here comes a very good Oklahoma team, and again, that number's come down. Matt Eumanns is going to join us a little bit later here on the Lombardi Line, and he actually likes Nebraska with that bump from the first week with the new coach. But again, that number's down to 11.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money coming in on it right away. And I think because of that, I think there's been a bump. But I mean, if you're Oklahoma and you're Brent Venables, I mean, you're playing into that conversation. And how can you not move the ball effectively against them if you're Oklahoma? I mean, really, you just kind of avoid losing. Now, Oklahoma's 1-1 against the spread so far this year. You know, Kent State gave them a hell of a game for a half. It was 7-3 at a half last week for Oklahoma. And then Oklahoma started to make those explosive plays that they're typically capable of doing with their offense, and they didn't. But I worry about, like, can they pace this game with that defense that gives up so many yards? That's not a fixable thing in one game. But the rally at home, I think it helps the fans, and I think that's why people are taking the number.
Yeah, I think the total has jumped up just a little high for my liking. It actually opened 66, bet down to 64.5. Oklahoma is a tremendous team. They're sixth ranked as they head to Lincoln. It is just, you know, it's almost, please go ahead.
Well, I think the reason we're seeing the over is Oklahoma, in the last six games in Nebraska, the Cornhuskers, when they're the dog, the over hits. The over hit 6-0 in the last six games. So I think that's why, you know, it's probably people are looking at it saying, okay, we know Nebraska can't stop anybody, but maybe they could keep up and put enough points to have us hit that over.
I think it's almost impossible to explain what Nebraska meant back in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s even. Like, kids today, it's almost funny we say get off my grass or get off my lawn, but kids today don't understand just how dominant Nebraska was nationally.
No, and I mean, for Nebraska to be ranked 98th on defense in the country and points allowed per game is inexcusable considering who they were in one time. I mean, this is a historic program. This is, you know, Keith Jackson on a Saturday afternoon, and, you know, you're watching the Wishbone with Johnny Rogers and the great Nebraska players. And unfortunately, it's a Remember When school right now, and we have a lot of them, you know, because people are stuck to the past. I wrote a column the other day for Daily Coach about being old school. There's nothing wrong with being old school, right? But you've got to remain curious. You've got to be able to remain interested in changing and being adaptive. And I think this notion that we have to have one of our own run the program. Look, when you get hired by Nebraska, I have nothing to do with Nebraska. But if I became the head coach of Nebraska, I would be one of them. Like, it doesn't, just because my diploma says Hofstra and not Nebraska, that doesn't make me more enticing. I think you narrow down your search by doing that. Look, the last two Nebraska, Bill Callahan got fired, he was winning there. And say what you want about Bo Pelini, but he was winning there too.
Bo Pelini, I just laugh every time I hear the name because you think of the memes with the cats. Okay, next up at Nebraska, Matt Campbell is always going to be the name that is going to be bantied about whenever there's an opening in college football. Do you have an idea who you would plug in there in Lincoln?
You know, I think Matt Campbell's is certainly an attractive name, but how good of a job is Nebraska? Again, remember when. I mean, boil it down. Like, why is Nebraska not being successful? You know, I think you got to look at that. But if you're Matt Campbell, are you going to give up Iowa State for Lincoln to go into the Big Ten? To go into the Big Ten, which is really hard to do right now? Or are you better off staying in the Big 12 and wondering where you're going to go? I think that's a fair question to ask. I really do. You know, To me, I don't know how good Nebraska is as a job based on what's happened there the last few years.
You've been to Williams-Brice down in Columbia, South Carolina, right, my friend?
Sure have. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've been there when they played Space Odyssey 2002 at night.
The best. Well, SEC rivals Georgia and South Carolina, the newly minted number one team in the country, Georgia, of course, national champs. They'll head to Williams-Brice as a South Carolina alum. This is a big-time mismatch. I mean, you take a look at the number right now. Georgia at Williams-Brice is laying 25.5. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. We'll come back and discuss number one team in the country, Georgia at South Carolina, next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else, So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, for horse racing information, it's vsiN.com/horses, and here are the top horse racing plays from ExpressBet handicapper Jeff Siegel, who's done a great job here on the Lombardi Line. At Churchill Downs in the 11th today, Jeff has the 5, Grand Love, at 9-2 on the morning line. Los Alamitos, how about the quarter horses getting some love? In the 9th race, Jeff has the 9 horse, Gandolfini. He did that for Lombardi on top at 5-2. Bet those races and more at First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Enter First Bet's free sweepstakes to win a trip to spend a weekend at Santa Anita on October 6th through 9th. Hang out with First Bet handicapper Jeff Siegel, the aforementioned. The grand prize package includes airfare, hotels, tickets, also races, and you get $1,000 betting voucher. Doesn't get better than that. For information and to sign up, go to vsiN.com/horses. That's vsiN.com/horses. Okay, we got you back here. Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to get to Georgia, South Carolina, but let me just throw some games at you because we're going to go through all these today. What tickles your fancy, Mr. Lombardi? Is it Penn State down on the plains at Jordan-Hare and Auburn? Is it Michigan State, Washington? Is it BYU, Oregon? Is it Mississippi State, LSU? How about Mississippi State, LSU? Sorry to interrupt you, but we've got two of the big weirdos in college football. Mike Leach and Brian Kelly going head-to-head there. Death Valley on a Saturday night.
You know, I think Mississippi State's a good team. I really do. I think they're physical. Will Rogers is outstanding. They've got weapons. They can run the football. I mean, last week against Arizona, had they chosen to just run it and not even let Will Rogers participate, they would have ranked up rolled up a ton of yards. I think Mississippi State, you know, it's tough to go into Baton Rouge. It's tough to go down there and play, but I do like them. I think they're a good team. I think Mike Leach is, you know, for whatever people want to talk about Mike Leach, he always seems to have good offensive lines. They don't necessarily translate into pro blocking offensive lines, but they're really good. And he has good defensive fronts. And so even though, you know, he's had this reputation of not being very good defensively, I think he is. And so that game kind of really interests me. The other game that I'm always searching for, Patrick, is finding bad. I think part of what we should do as bettors is find bad. Where is a bad team? And can the book early in September get a bad team's line right? Okay? You know, can they get a bad team's line correct? And I think Colorado is a really bad team, a bad team. Now, Minnesota's playing them, and it's 27.5 point today, right? So, to me, is that right? I don't think Minnesota's a great team, but I know bad when I see bad, and Colorado's bad. And so, to me, that's what I'm always. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is that a spin? I'm sorry. Is that a spinoff that you just created? A Breaking Bad, Finding Bad with Michael Lombardi, where you search the board for bad teams.
You search the board for bad. I think it's what we should do is better. Now, you know me, I'm a big believer in staying within your comfort zone, whether you like the Mac or that. But if you want to expand out, go to the. Don't spend all your time. Like we do, who's the number one team in the country? Let's find who's the worst team in the country. Because if you remember last year, people were making a ton of money on UConn. People were making a ton of money on UMass. They never could get those lines right. So when you could find bad, you know, if you sense bad, like Colorado, I think it takes a little. I don't think they put the tax on it yet.
Colorado at Minnesota today, 3:30 your time. Minnesota's
What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on finding bad is this. It's going to be Michael Lombardi in the lead role, Edie Falco as the love interest, and Aaron Paul is also going to be involved. It's not going to be meth. It's going to be gambling. It's finding bad, starring the man in black there, Michael Lombardi. Now, Georgia, I'd like to ask you a question quickly. It appears they're pretty good at football. If you had to take a coach right now, okay, now think about this. Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart. Because Jimbo's reputation is up on the same level as Kirby. But what Kirby's done in, what, 4 or 5 short years at Georgia has been unbelievable. Remember, Rick couldn't get it done for years and years. He had the talent. He couldn't win. What Kirby's doing right now, they don't have a weakness on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I would take I would take Sean Lewis, the head coach at Kent State, before I take Jimbo. Okay. I think Sean Lewis has got a bright future. I think he's going to be an outstanding coach. You know, I mean, so I don't understand where the Jimbo conversation starts. I don't know how it became so in reverence. I mean, only in America is somebody willing to pay. But it's all perception based. It's elected, not selected. I mean, the people doing the interview, and to me, Jimbo lost me. I went to practice at Florida State, and I thought it was an unmade bet. I thought it was disorganized, and I'm like, how? I went down there with an open mind. How is this guy, you know, he's got this reputation. I went down there with the idea, could this guy be a guy you would want to hire as a pro coach? When I left, I wasn't sure I would hire him as a MAC coach, okay? I thought it was unorganized. I said, maybe it was a bad day, okay? So then I watch him, I keep watching him, and I keep studying it. And then when I had a moment to get intimate inside the A&M program by that ESPN allowing me to listen to those guys talk ball during the college championship game, that was it for me. I was done. That's it. Like, that's just no way. There's details that are never going to get handled. Now, you know, they could come out and beat the University of Miami today. Fine. That's good. But at some point, where's your program? It's Belichick says, we're not collecting talent. We're building a team. You can have all the five stars you want if you can't build a team.
College Station, Miami in town. We'll get to that game coming up in just a little bit. Max Johnson is going to be the starter at quarterback. Not to bring up a bad memory, but he is the son of Brad Johnson, who I'm sure you've heard of before. Sorry, Michael.
Thank you, Patrick. Shania Twain, too, while you do that? Just bring her up, too.
She was
the halftime entertainment of that Super Bowl, but that's okay. Just bring that up, too, you know?
You go, boy. Georgia, South Carolina. Okay, so I told you that last week was essentially a week off when Georgia pummeled Sanford 35-0. So here comes Georgia, an SEC matchup against South Carolina. Now, the big difference between these two teams is everything, and I do like what Beamer's doing. I like what Shane Beamer's doing at South Carolina, but there's a lot to clean up from what Muschamp left over. But it's pretty simple with these two teams. The difference is in the trenches. Spencer Rattler is fine. You can bring in talent for South Carolina, but the offensive line simply isn't any good, and the defensive front they're going to be facing in Georgia today is one of the best in the nation. This is a mismatch.
Well, let me ask you this question, just for the point of how many points has Georgia given up on average? You know, the number one team in the nation, they don't give up points, right?
Less than 10, probably.
I think it's 1.5. Two games they've given up three points.
Yeah, this is our boy Felica. He said Georgia in the last 10 regular season SEC games, they've allowed 9.6 points. So the defense has been ridiculously dominant.
All right, so so you're trying to handicap this game. You know, South Carolina 73rd in the country in scoring, right? They averaged, 32.5 points a game. Their defense is 89th. They give up 29 points a game. You know, like, Georgia averages 41. There's such an imbalance there. You know, there's such an imbalance there. And when you look at it, you know, the points have come, you know, basically Georgia allows points later in the game, not early in the game. They start out with the big lead. This will be a challenge for South Carolina. They're going to have to play. Georgia's going to have to lose the game, right? Georgia's going to have to lose the game. They're not going to be able to go in there and win it and go from there. So I just think it's a hard. I mean, this game, South Carolina's building their program. Georgia has built their program.
Well, you just nailed where I'm going with this game. Yesterday, I laid 6.5 with Georgia in the first quarter. You may still be able, if you shop for the best number, we always talk about having multiple outs here, not just on the Lombardi line, but on VSiN. You may be able to still find 6.5s or 7s, Michael. 16.5 on the first half. Last week, South Carolina at Arkansas, they lost 44-30. They gave up 300 on the ground. And I understand Arkansas can run the football against anybody, but they gave up 300 on the ground. And defensively, South Carolina is just, it's not there. They're just not there right now.
I think you make a great point here, Patrick, and this could be a pro betting tip. If you see these games with these huge point spreads, right, you're better off looking at that first half or the first quarter, because the one thing we do know about Georgia is going to score. Now, they rank 38th in the country in first quarter points scored, okay? So that isn't like all over the top, right? But South Carolina ranks 108th in first quarter points scored. So they don't really score in the first quarter, and they're going against a team that plays great defense in the first quarter. Those two things add up to maybe looking at the first quarter.
Well, to your point, and thank you for reiterating, again, Williams-Brice, where South Carolina plays there in Columbia, it's going to be lit. I mean, there's going to be energy. It's going to be an atmosphere, and that will capture Georgia's attention, at least for the first half. But then Georgia, again, they are going to be up, and they're going to take the foot off the gas. Or not necessarily foot off the gas, but you could have something as far as a backdoor situation from South Carolina in that second half. Again, I laid 6.5 in the first quarter. I'm looking at most shops at 7 now, and you can lay 16.5, where that's the number in the first half. Georgia, again, the quarterback is starting to prove us wrong. They are just absolutely loaded. It's a wild team to watch.
It is a wild team to watch, and I'm not sure the quarterback's proving us wrong. I'm not going there yet, but they're so much better than everybody else. It's scary.
Okay, well, when we come back, we should discuss that, because you just said so much better than everybody else, but I go to DraftKings and I look at the championship odds and Bama's still up top.
In terms of other than Bama, I think it's a two-team race. I don't think Ohio State's in this category yet.
So, based on what you just said, you don't necessarily knock Bama for last week in Austin. You would pump up Texas. We'll come back and answer that question coming up next here. That's a beautiful shot there of the Borgata, where Michael Lombardi is hanging right now. It is the Lombardi Line on a Saturday.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, again, I keep getting messages about VSiN pros that they're making money. Okay, you get the pro tools, you get the pro picks at a glance. You get everything we offer, 24/7 video. And again, remember, the pro tips are all cataloged and archived there as well from across every show here on VSiN. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Right now you get 50% off. You get everything we offer. Michael Lombardi's exclusive articles. You get all the plays. You get, of course, Point Spread Weekly, which drops every Wednesday. It's an awesome, awesome deal. Become a VSiN pro. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. So I asked you on the way to break, did you take something away from Alabama with the close win at Austin last week, or did you bump up Texas a little bit? I will tell you this, Texas, the Roadrunners are in town today, and it's an impossible spot for Texas. We'll get to that in a little bit. It's 12.5-13. Hudson Card's going to be under center for Texas, of course. I will say this, they battled for 60 minutes, and the most impressive unit for me as far as Texas was that defensive front. They were awesome all game.
They really were, and I don't know if it was an anomaly or if it's what we really know from Texas, right? I that's what worried me, right? So when I look at them and I thought, you know, that they were better than expected. They ranked 33rd in the country in points allowed, which I thought was going to be unbelievably different. I thought that would be changed, you know, and they were able to stay in the game. Now, what happened was, the first quarter, Alabama looked like they were going to take it over, and they couldn't do it as that game went on. But I think the Roadrunners averaged 38 points a game. This coach does a great job there. He really does.
He does.
You know, he signed an extension. He had a chance to go to TCU. He had a chance to go to a couple places last year. But he stayed on there. I just think, to me, that this is a tough spot for Texas. To answer your question, Patrick, I didn't really bump up Texas. I just think it was a tough environment. I think that environment really made the game hard for Alabama. And when Alabama needed to make a play, they did.
Remember, when we're talking about tricky spots or situational betting, when it comes to college, pro football, or just betting in general, this is ideal as far as UTSA. Texas had been waiting all summer. Think about it, Michael. All summer for Alabama to come to town. They battle for 60 minutes. The emotional letdown after losing that game. You got to turn around and take on, I guess you could dub them little brother, Texas San Antonio, that comes to town. This is Texas San Antonio's. This is the Roadrunner Super Bowl. So Texas last week was the game, and this week for Texas San Antonio here.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I mean, new quarter. I thought Texas offense, I mean, I know they had so many quarterbacks got hurt and it was struggling. But one thing about this Texas San Antonio team is they can move the football. I mean, they are very good at moving the football. They are 59th in the country in yards per play. I mean, this isn't not an accident. Now, you know, they have a harder time stopping people, but they actually gain more yards per play than Texas has. Now, we understand the level of competition is uniquely different, but to me, they get quarterbacking play, and they can, and they get yards per play. That's a pretty good formula to make this a track meet.
I mean, don't sleep on them. They lost in overtime to Houston, ranked at the time. They beat Army. So if you want to run against them, UTSA just showed you they can shut you down. They beat them in overtime, 41-38. I think this is literally an impossible spot for Texas today. Hudson Card, of course, is going to be under center. Now, the next one, and then we'll get to a big matchup with BYU and Oregon. That's later tonight. How about Alabama? I know you're not the biggest Bryce Young guy, but in the end, he was the difference. I thought he's shaky for a lot of that game, but what really stood out, Michael, was the lack of just explosiveness on the outside for Alabama. That stood out.
Yeah, that they couldn't separate. Look, I mean, Bryce Young, to me, his body doesn't look like an NFL body, but his play. One thing about Bryce Young, he when his mama lifted him from the crib, he has quarterback instincts. He knows how to play the position really effectively. So. I agree with you. I think their skill was disappointing. Their inability to control the line of scrimmage, that offensive line didn't play well against Texas either. That was as right. much disappointing to me as anything. I mean, they couldn't really battle it through, and that's what bothered me about the game. I just didn't think they were able to control the line of scrimmage, and they need to do that. And then they kind of got off kilter a little bit and out of rhythm.
Totally agree. It was a game they had to have. They walked out winners, of course, and still your favorites, as I mentioned, in the futures market as far as championship odds over at BetMGM, 2-1 Bama, Georgia 210, and then Ohio State is plus 290. We'll get to Ohio State, who's taken on a 2-0 Rockets team, that being Toledo. But let's transition BYU-Oregon. So this is a very interesting matchup. How about BYU just beating Baylor? Remember, Big 12 champs last year. So BYU really, really kind of consistent over the first 2 weeks. They've got a tough schedule, one of the toughest in the country. And tonight up in Oregon and Eugene, 4 down to 3.5 with Oregon laying it. I'm not interested right now in laying points with a team in Oregon that's kind of trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah, I'm with you, Patrick. I mean, look, I think when you look at this BYU team, I think they're physical on defense. I mean, they are physical.
Yes.
I mean, the one thing Baylor wants to do, Baylor wants to run the football. Baylor wants to control the line. They want to play action. I mean, it's the Dave Aranda program, and I thought they were really physical against Baylor in that game, and they controlled the line of scrimmage, you know, and they're able to get enough offense out of what they do. They were, you know, they're 30th in points scored, so they can do it. But I think more than anything is that this BYU team, everybody thinks that they throw it all over the lot. They average 200 yards rushing a game. Do you think Oregon's going to be physical enough to match up here? I don't know. I mean, this is a big game for BYU. They're an independent, you know. I don't know where they're going to end up in this whole configuration of college football. But to me, this is one of those games where they make a statement. And I know they're playing in Eugene, and I know that certainly is a great place. But to me, the physicality of BYU concerns me against Oregon, who I watch get physically beaten up by Georgia. Now, I'm not comparing BYU to Georgia. I'm not doing that.
I agree.
But the style of play defensively by BYU and how they run the ball, to me, is a difference.
Well, BYU does have one of the better defensive lines, defensive fronts in the country. They've been great against the run. I will say this. Jaren Hall, the quarterback's done just enough, and he doesn't have his top two targets. Now, think about this schedule. So they already played Baylor, beat them. They go to Eugene today. They've got Arkansas on the schedule. They've got Stanford on the schedule. They've got Notre Dame on the schedule. I mean, the Indy schedule for BYU is ridiculous. The offensive line has been good. You talked about the defense, Michael. They've turned the ball over one time in two games, and they haven't been penalized. That's the recipe for winning football games.
And they haven't allowed a point scored in the first quarter. Which you say, well, what's that mean? That means that they're able to play from in front, that they're able to utilize their skill set to run the football. They don't get behind. I mean, they can control the game the minute the game starts. I mean, look, they're an independent. I don't know how they're not in a conference because it's, you know, they sell out that stadium. It's it's unbelievable at Provo. If you've never been to a game there, like at Utah, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy when you go there. It's packed. They love the ball. You know, they're a hard team to play because of their physicality. It's different. They're like Utah. They play a physical style that a lot of teams, especially Pac-12, Big 12, they're not used to.
Great point about BYU in that first quarter. BYU catching a half a point in the first quarter today against Oregon. Look, here's the thing about Oregon. They put up 70 against Eastern Washington. And remember, Eastern Washington, FCS, but they're always in the playoffs, so it's a good team. Now, they're a little down this year. But I will say this. Oregon, a work in progress with Lanning. I think the defense is going to get better, but they've been so sloppy specifically like they just not tackling well. It just looks like a disjointed team. And you said it repeatedly after week one when they went to Atlanta and got just absolutely trounced by Georgia. They looked listless. The head coach looked listless. There wasn't a vibe from the team.
Yeah, no, I just didn't feel like, to me, there's not like a sense of urgency. I think he's learning. Look, he's learning how to become a head coach. I mean, look, you know, like Marcus Freeman. I mean, you just don't come down on earth and have this ability to be a great head coach all of a sudden. I think it takes some time. I think it really does. I think it's going to take some time at Oregon. Look, they get great recruits, and Cristobal left them with a really good program. But at some point, you know, I mean, look, their defense, 67th in the country in yards per play allowed. I mean, that's not very good, and considering you played Georgia and you played Eastern Washington.
I'll take the points, Michael. I like BYU today.
I do, too. I really do. I do. And I'm not worried about it being in Eugene. I think, to me, I worry more about the physicality than I worry about where we're playing.
Well, Sitake, he's, what, 7 years deep at BYU. His teams are always physical. Very much reminds you of their rival and what Whittingham's done at Utah.
No
right?
doubt.
Those two teams, it's always going to be a battle.
And don't ever forget now, BYU's always an older team because of the mission, because they send kids on the Mormon mission. They're an older, mature team. That's why they're so physical as well.
100%. I think the defense is going to get better under Lanning. Another place I'm looking here today, total open 57, has been bet up to 58. A couple of shops sitting 58.5, BYU, Oregon. I do like the under here. Just like for what you said about BYU and just how steady they've been defensively. Again,
plus, I think BYU is going to run the ball. I mean, I think there's going to be running the ball. The problem with undersuit in college football is they stop the clock on first down. So running the ball, and if you get a first down, it doesn't eat up as much time as it does in the NFL.
Look at that schedule. Can we throw up the BYU schedule, Stephen? Thank you. The over-under was set at 8.5 for BYU this year because of the schedule. I mean, take a look. I mean, Notre Dame, Utah State, Wyoming, who just beat.
There's no gimme putts on that.
Air Force.
Where's Utah? I mean, is that Utah Tech? I never even heard of Utah Tech.
They're at Boise State on the Smurf Turf. Coming up next, Jack Johnson's going to join us live from the Beau Rivage.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM customers, if you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn $50 in bonuses over at BetMGM. It's Refer a Friend program. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to sign into your BetMGM account, and then you click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message. Once you do, when they sign up, you both get $50 paid for in free bets. It's a great deal. All you have to do is get a friend involved with Refer a Friend program over at the King of Sportsbooks. Got to be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada. It's week 3 college football as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he is Michael Lombardi. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hopefully your weekend is starting off well. Of course, we've got college today, NFL tomorrow, and now we head out to the Beau Rivage and say hi to our good buddy, Chick Jack Johnson, Carl Johnson, who runs the book there at the Beau. And we start with this. Millie and Michael sent you a little treat for all your hospitality down at the Beau, and it appears the treat is already gone. Is that fair, Chick Jack?
I mean, look, it was a big old tub of this caramel-style popcorn. You know, the interesting thing is it's also made by Johnson's Popcorn, which I found interesting. But we killed this thing in like a day and a half. Me and my little 7-year-old granddaughter, it was amazing. You couldn't lay off of it.
Yeah, it is called Johnson's Popcorn. They've got they have two locations up on the boardwalk in Ocean City, and the smell of it is so intoxicating. And you see people in the summer with their tubs carrying it up on the boardwalk. It's so good. It's actually better warm when you get it after they just make it in those copper kettles. They pour it in these copper kettles, and then they mix the caramel all in it, and then they pour it out, and it's all gooey and hot. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
but
gosh,
you can't take a bite. Yeah, you can't take a bite because one bite leads to 1,000. So you're better off having
dangerous.
No bites. Yeah.
That's
a slippery slope. You want to see a picture of Chick Jack with the popcorn? Go to @ChickJackJohnson on Twitter. How about this? So Saturday night, Tiger Stadium, Death Valley. This is as good as it gets, right, Chick Jack? We've got Mississippi State. Will Rogers has been on fire. Mike Leach, Brian Kelly, two very weird guys, which is awesome, adds to the vibe. Mississippi State open 2. I got a couple of shops reporting 3. As a matter of fact, most are reporting 3. Where are you regionally down there at the Bayou?
Yeah, so interesting spot here for us. So, yeah, we did open at 2-54. We're at 3-53 right now, Patrick. And the interesting thing is that for us, LSU is getting 60% of the money, 60% of the tickets, and yet that line rose a little bit. So Leach is the type of coach that gives LSU teams fits. I mean, he can call any play anytime. This is going to be huge for LSU. You know, SEC team getting points at home. This is going to be a dogfight. I think this is going to be one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, it's interesting. I mean, do you think LSU can match? I mean, Will Rogers is really good. I think he's fits perfectly what Mike Leach does offensively. The running game is outstanding. Do you think LSU, I mean, look, I'm not a Jay and Daniels fan. I haven't been one. Do you think they can match the points on this?
You know, based off what I've seen, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Mike, I just don't see it. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, LSU is, they're going to have to take a stand here. They're going to have to get something that works. I mean, they had an easy week last week. Maybe they were able to iron out some stuff. But Mississippi State, this is probably the best team that Leach has had offensively and defensively. So it's going to be a tough game here.
Let's keep it SEC with Carl Johnson here. Let's go to Louisiana Monroe. As Stephen Bond was pointing out, you know, it's not a rollover for Bama. However, Bama's laying 49.5. Louisiana Monroe did get beat by 42 in week one in the opener against Texas. Where are you sitting down there at Alabama today?
Yeah, so we opened at 48.5 and 60. We are at 49.5, 61.5. Louisiana Monroe getting some money down here. You know, it's 55% of the handle with only 30% of the tickets. So that tells us the Sharpies, they like Louisiana Monroe plus all these points here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's probably this fan instinct that, you know, Alabama is going to be angry even after the win and they're going to just roll it up. Here's where I'm a little concerned about this and taking Monroe is Monroe can't score in the games they played, right? They average 22.5 points a game. Their defense is actually better. I mean, considering that they played Texas, not that they're a great team, but they give up less than 30 points a game. So, to me, I think this is a get-right game for Alabama, but I'm scared of the point total. I'm scared of that spread. But I think there's an instinct in me that Nick, after a win, because remember, Saban doesn't even look at the scoreboard. It's all about how did we play. I bet it was a hard week at Alabama for those kids because, yes, they won, but there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. You know, when you see a number like this on games for Alabama, I mean, it's, you know, Alabama, you're right. Louisiana Monroe can't score, you know, a whole lot against this team. It's going to all depend on what Nick decides to do second half, you know, with his, you know, get some kids some playing time, stuff like that. Louisiana Monroe may get a backdoor touchdown that covers this, but that's what it depends on.
Patrick, not to interrupt, yeah, but ahead, first, Michael. give us first quarter, because Monroe averages 1.5 points in the first quarter. Okay, and so I would say that's probably not going to happen anyway. So what's the first quarter and then first half?
Well, you read my mind. First half right now is 32. Bama laying it. Of course, over the past couple of seasons, they've been dominant, Alabama, in that first half. The first quarter number is 13. So Bama laying 13 in the first quarter.
Yeah, that I think is a pretty good play. I think they scored two touchdowns to start this thing off.
Yeah, and like you guys were talking earlier on a different game, if you're going to play this game, I think that's probably the best bet, the safest bet that you can make on this game is that first quarter wager.
Yep. Hey, Carl, you just said something that was awesome, and that's talking about the Sharpies. So, again, if you become a VSiN Pro, part of the Pro Tools package is you get the betting splits. And the betting splits are very important. For example, let's use Oklahoma-Nebraska today. BetMGM is reporting most of the money, most of the tickets on Oklahoma. Yet we've seen that number bet down to 11 off the 14.5 opener. Carl, that tells you something as a bookmaker.
Yeah, it does. Those betting splits are so important. I mean, that is the number one tool for a gambler. They should be on this VSiN stuff and using these betting splits. It's amazing. You can see early in the week where the sharps hit. And if you just follow last week, those there was about six plays that came out on Monday and Tuesday, and they went 5-1. I mean, that it's very important.
Yeah, it's really important. And Carl, I'm always looking for the games with a low ticket count and a high number count, high money count. That's, to me, is a formula. Pittsburgh, New England this weekend. New England's getting 40% of the tickets. They're getting about 75% of the money. That tells you that there's a lot of people in on New England that know what they're doing.
That's exactly right, and that's what you're looking for. And if you continue to stay with those teams during the long haul, you're gonna win money.
Yep, that's right.
Carl Johnson. What's it going to be like down at the bow today? I mean, it just hits different with college football back, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had crowds since we walked in this morning. You know, it's a good flow. They're excited about this Mississippi State LSU game. Should be a really good crowd. This Miami Texas A&M game is going to be a good one also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, how about that one, Carl? Where are you on the Jimbo? Where are you on him now? Make him coach of the year. What do you got on that one?
Yeah, so we opened here at 5.5, 48.5. We're at 6 and 44.5. Miami is getting about 60% of the money, 60% of the tickets. Look, this is, Miami had a lot of steam coming into the year. A lot of people, a lot of smart money played Miami on their futures. I like Miami in this spot. Look, Texas A&M hadn't showed me anything. Jimbo continues to struggle. This is a huge game, and this is a pretty good Miami team coming in here. I like Miami on the money line, and I like them plus the 6.
Ooh, I love it, Carl. I love it. Go that money line. Love it.
Look at you, Carl. We'd love to see that. You don't like it. Listen, I agree with Carl. I'm going to take the 6 with Miami. Michael, when you got a quarterback change coming off a debilitating loss at home at College Station last week, that means turmoil in the program. There's something going
on. There's no switch you can flip in football that just makes you a better team in a week. That's unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to make me enough money to get me 2 cheeseburgers tonight. So I'm
No. That's where we're going, bro. That's Carl. That's where we're going, bro. Everybody needs to know. What are you eating today, my man?
I'm eating red beans and rice, cornbread with a little Tabasco sprinkled on top. And maybe a pork chop on the side, Patrick.
Oh, man, I just gained 8 pounds listening to you read that off. Jeez, oh, man.
So you ate the whole tub of popcorn. Is that clear? Reiterate, you ate the whole tub.
Me and my little – I ate most of it. My little 7-year-old granddaughter helped me off. A day and a half it lasted.
One more is the pod. He needs one more bucket of popcorn at JackJohnson on Twitter. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Patrick.
Miami, Texas A&M. That's next here on the Party Line on a Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.